My wife sings a chorus she wrote, says, "The devil's under my feet. You know I'm going to dance. Devil's under my feet, nothing he can do to me. I got him under my feet." It's time to put him where he belongs. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'm going to start at verse 5. I stayed with the same scripture, didn't I, sound people? That place I just come from, I drive a sound person nuts. And says, "Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, a winter with you." Now, Dad, I'm not saying I'm going to stay all winter. If I did, me and you both would be out on the back porch. "But maybe I will abide, yea, and winter with you, and that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." There are many adversaries. I have a little note right here. The Amplified Version of verse 9, 8 and 9 says, "But I will stay in Ephesus till Pentecost because a wide door of effective service has opened to me in Ephesus, a very promising opportunity, and there are many adversaries." This is kind of thrown together. The Lord gave it to me very quick, suddenly today. And I want to talk to us about the inhabitants of your open door. The inhabitants of your open door. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you and I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Lord, you have set up an atmosphere. You are in this building, and I know that the angelic host is in this building. Lord, I ask that you would bridle my tongue. Let it speak only what your spirit would want to speak. I fall under the submission of you and your pastor in this congregation. Lord, I pray this day that the adversary that has haunted his people would be disarmed, bound, and testified against today. God, I pray that the blood would rebuke him, silence him, and totally defang him. In the name of Jesus, let your anointing saturate, and let your unction be in my mouth. And Lord, we'll be quick in whatever you do in this service to give you the praise. And everyone say, in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you're seated. Oh, come on, shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. There's no God like our God. There's no that can compare. None can compare in power, none can compare in authority, none can compare in greatness, none can compare in beauty, none can compare in might, none can compare in strength, none can compare in compassion, none can compare in love, none can compare in mercy, and none can compare in grace. There is no God like the one we serve, and his name is, I said his name is, we ought to proclaim that name like never before, because I'm here to tell you, God is spoken and God has moved on me to tell this church once again in a prophetic spirit that there is an open door set before you, and the adversary that is gathering around the outside of it, he does not have the authority to keep you from walking through it. He is going to intimidate you, but is only by the authority that God has given him permission to. And you have not been set up to be embarrassed by the devil. You have been set up to embarrass the devil. You have not been set up to be mocked by sin. You have been set up by the blood of Jesus to mock the one that brought the sin in your life. Somebody needs to understand the power of your testimony. The open door that is set before you. I look at all through Genesis, all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible talks about open doors. The Bible talks about, in fact, the very first time it really mentions a door, it's talking to Cain, and it says, sin lieth at the door. Somebody, you ought to know you're not going to go to that door in all your perfection and all your glory of God and walk through it without something trying to encourage you to step back and don't go through it. In fact, as I told a church earlier, and I'll tell you today, I was reminded when this word dropped in of a vision that at Apostolic Temple in Pasadena, Texas, that God showed me an open door. And the whole borders, the doorpost, the tie, all around it was lined with demonic spirits. And they were screaming and they were reaching and they were grabbing and they were doing everything to intimidate us from walking through that door. But the word of God came to me and said, don't be intimidated by what I've allowed to be at the borders of your open door. They are not there to hinder you. You are there to defeat them. They are not there. Oh, I got to get a witness on that one. What kind of God do you think we serve? Do you really think God's going to allow Satan and all his imps to come after you because he wants you defeated? Somebody here going through all hell in your life, do you think God has allowed that hell to come to your life so that you can go there and live there for eternity? I feel an authority on me right now. Maybe it's just, I don't know if it's arrogance, it's against the devil. But do you think that God wants you to fail? Do you, ma'am, do you, sir, that's in here and don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, don't have the promise of the Father, don't have the recipe for victory, don't have the blood on your life, don't have the name over you, do you really think God brought you here so you can leave in the same way you came? You're standing, you're sitting, you're in the door of opportunity of a lifetime. You can be filled with a promise of the Father called the Holy Ghost. You can be delivered from addictions. You can be delivered from the torment of your mind. But you can't just sit there and do nothing. You've got to get up and do something. If he'll stretch his hands out for the nails, the least you can do is stretch your hands up in praise. Maybe let me use a different pronoun. At least we can do is that. Oh, I got to be careful here. There is an open door set before you, young man. And God's on the other side, and he's wanting you to defeat that adversary, and he's wanting you to walk through so he can show you the ultimates of his glory unto you. Church, I said it then, and I'm going to say it again, but I'm going to change. Because the last time I said that new church you're getting in is too small. But I feel a challenge in me right now that says only if you believe it. Sir, God will never be bigger than what you'll allow him to be in your life. He'll never be more real than what you'll allow him to be in your life. And I'm here to tell you, he's not going to allow you to walk through a door he set up before you if you're going to disrespect him and disrespect the opportunity. The reason that we miss so many souls winning them to God is because we're so eat up with our own agendas and our own time that we miss opportunities that God has set before us. I'm praying right now there'd be an anointed hand come into this place and touch your eyes and touch my eyes and touch our revelation and touch our understanding, because we don't really realize what's beyond the open door. But the devil realizes it because he used to live there. But he don't live there no more. Neither is he invited to live there for eternity. But everyone sitting in these chairs, you're invited to a marriage supper of the Lamb. You're invited to the joy of the Lord. You're invited to walk through that open door. You're invited to a shouting time like you ain't never experienced in your life. So when you see me dance, when you see me shout, when you see me praise, when you see me worship, I'm just, as the old song says, I'm just warming up. I'm getting ready for another day and another victory because I want to go to the rapture. I'm afraid that there's some in here tonight. You are sitting like the lepers at the gate. And until you get something inside your heart that says, I'm either going to sit here and starve to death because of my situation, I can't go in the city, but look at that camp out there. They got everything going on for them. But I'm either going to sit here and die of starvation. But I think, you know what? If I'm going to die, I think I'm going to die full. And I just saw somewhere people coming to the city. If they got leprosy, they're supposed to scream unclean, 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 so that people can get away from them. Well, that's what you're going to do tonight. If you'll repent of your sins and get some worship in you about the blood of the Lamb, you can be screaming in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. I've got the blood. I've got the blood. I've got the blood. And devil's going to step back. Silver and gold have I none, but such that I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, it said, arise. And the Bible says that he didn't just say, here it is, now get up. But it said that he walked up, silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus. And he pulled him up. That's what you got to do with your promise, brother. I feel something right there coming down on you right now. There's a revelation for you and an anointing on you and an unction for you under the authority of your pastor. I believe it. I believe it in the name of Jesus. God, let this miracle be grabbed a hold of and dragged to an altar and dragged to a party. You've got to get a hold of it right now. Somebody, get a hold of your faith. Get a hold of your prophecy. Get a hold of your promise and say, get up, wake up. It's not over yet. Drug addict, it ain't over yet. Get up, get in an altar. Alcoholic, it ain't over yet. Get up, get in an altar. Backslider. slaughter. It ain't over yet. Get up and get in an altar. Woo! We sing that song, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus. But we really don't mean it. If we did, we wouldn't be sitting back in our pew waiting for somebody to prime us and itch our scratch a little bit. I tell you, I feel it right now. I feel it, something on me right now, boldness. A friend of mine backslid, told me, he said, Brother Blacks, I've done all I can do. I don't know what else there's to do. I said, well, I don't know what else God can do. Sounds to me like he went to the cross. He took the nails. He took the whips. He took everything it could take, a crown of thorns. He took embarrassment, took abusement, and gave up the ghost on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be healed. He went to the tomb, but he didn't stay there. I like what I think if Jeff Arnold said. Why is he going to buy a tomb? Why was he buried in a borrowed tomb? Because why did he need to buy anything that he ain't planning on staying in? Somebody here, your tomb is your ego. Your tomb is your pride. Your tomb is, I don't think it should be done that way. But I'm here to tell you in the name of Jesus Christ, it's time for you to rise and come out of that tomb. You need to come out of that tomb and get in an upper room, because there's a power of a promise that says, I'll make you anything you want to. Oh, I felt something on that. Well, then let me just go on and be a drug dealer. Okay, well, there you go. I won't make you be a drug dealer. You can do that your own way. There's enough devils to do that. But behold, I've put before you an open door, and nobody can shut it. No man can shut it. Preacher, you don't know who I am. Don't care. Yeah, I know who you are, because I've been there. I've been there. Let me tell you who you are. You don't know who you are. You don't know who I know. You've got problems. Is this all right, Pastor? You've got issues going on from your past that you're still whining and bellyaching and crying about. Life hadn't gone the way you felt like it ought to go. So you just going to stand up and do, or sit down and do nothing. You just going to wither away in your grave and wither away in your fault and wither away. But that's what you think of yourself. But God says, you ain't looking at yourself like I'm looking at you. Because what I see is a miracle. What I see is the one that I bled for. What I see is the one that I died for. What I see is the one that I resurrected for. What I see is the one that I want to hold tonight. I want to wrap my arms around you. I want to put the wings of compassion around you. I want to bring you into the Holy of Holies, where sin cannot abound and intimidating spirits cannot live. I want to bring you to where my angels are. I want to bring you to where my covenant is. I want to bring you to where the blood is. I want to bring you to where the mercy seat is. I want to bring you into a life like you've never known. I want to show you what real love's all about, because perfect love casteth out all fear. I'm wanting to cast your fear out. I'm wanting to strengthen your soul with my power. I want you to understand that you are a miracle in the process. Bless God ain't acknowledging me. Pride. Jack Cunningham said he asked his Uncle Billy Cole one day after service, powerful, hundreds got the Holy Ghost. He said, "Well, what do you feel about the service?" And Billy Cole looked at him. He said, "That's pride coming out of you, and I rebuke that in the name of Jesus." Somebody here, the only thing keeping you on that back row is your pride. The only thing keeping you from true repentance is pride. What are they going to think of me? What are they going to say? I've had them fooled for so long. What are they going to think? And that split-tongued devil's whispering in your ear. He ain't talking to you. You don't need to go to that altar. You don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You don't need to listen anymore to that old man. That old guy don't know what he's talking about. That old country hick don't know what he's talking about. I'm telling you, when you, oh Lord, have mercy. I'm here to tell you, you want to know what the voice of God is? Anything that tells you not to come to an altar and repent is not God. Anything that tells you you've got it all together and nothing to repent of is not God. Anything that's whispering in your mind, whispering in your ear, talking in your head, is telling you that you don't need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, that is not God. If it's keeping you away from the biblical way of breakthrough and salvation, it is not God. But what I am telling you and what I'm heralding in this place today, come on church, I need you to help me a little bit. What I'm heralding to you, sir, what I'm heralding to you, ma'am, is that God is not trying to keep you. The devil is not talking to you right now. God is talking to you. And he's trying to tell you, I want you to draw close to me that I can draw closer to you. If you'll take one step, he'll take two. He'll always go further. His hand will always reach down further than you can reach up. God's mercy and God's grace is not predicated in your life on what you've done. It's predicated on what you're going to do. There is a revival. There is a harvest in this place. There is a harvest, and it is predicated on not on how it's going to grow, but how it's going to be harvested. It's predicated on the will of God. Not my will. Everyone say, not my will, but thy will. And thy will is saying, get out of your seat and get in an altar. Thy will is saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thy will is saying, get up, get out of it, stop sitting in it, stop whining about it. Let's get the answer put in your mind. You've been asking too many questions. You've been asking more questions. You're saying that I've got answers. Why? Because the only answer you need right now is repent. I don't need to dress up like a pimp to win a prostitute. I don't need to look like Egypt to get along in Egypt. I need to look godly, holy, and righteous. I need to show them what they can look like. Got a picture on my phone right now. My hair hanging halfway down my back, black leather jacket and black glasses on. So high, I could probably kill a snow goose with a garden rake. So drunk. But I got it all together. You know what I see in this place, Pastor? I see somebody act like this in the Holy Ghost. You've been drunk on a lot of things in life. Why don't you try God for a second?
Thank you, Lord.
Might as well belly up to the holy bar because the bill got paid for at Calvary. It ain't going to cost you nothing to get the Holy Ghost. It's going to cost you a little short walk. It's going to cost you a little short walk. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 22. Somebody's 22 steps from their deliverer. Somebody's 22 steps to what real reality is all about. But your pride is not going to allow you to take those steps. Your pride is not going to allow you to take those steps. Your haughtiness is not going to allow you. I'm going to tell you, I know some preachers that ought to be taking steps to an altar. But because of their pride, because of their years, because of all of their messages they preach, they're too good for an altar. I'm asking if there's a minister in this house that really needs and wants to move God in his family and in his life, it's time for him to lead the way. Don't expect them to go where you won't go. Husband wants your wife to be in a prayer room and you won't even go? Or the only time you pray is at church where everybody can see you? Am I being mean? I'm mad at sin. I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at the one that hates your soul. I'm not going to tell you. I can tell you, go ahead and smoke that dope. Go ahead and snort that coke. Go ahead and shoot that heroin. Go ahead and cuss and fuss. Go ahead and do all you want to do. Go ahead and boogaloo and dance in them nightclubs. Go ahead and twirl around a pole. Go ahead and put a dollar in something that you don't need to be putting a dollar in. Go ahead and sing those heavy metal songs. Go ahead and sing those country songs. Go ahead and do all that rap songs. Go ahead and do all of that worldliness. Go ahead and do all of that stuff. But you're looking at a preacher that says no. It's time for you to repent. If I told you or your pastor ever told you it's all okay, they don't love you. But the God of all grace and mercy says, I love you so much, I'm ready to bring you out of all that mess.